good morning. This is NPR News. I'm Mike Mulcahy. The federal government shutdown is in its third day. Senate leaders hope to hold a vote at noon Washington time if they can agree on a temporary measure to fund the government. It was quite a weekend in Washington. The first anniversary of President Trump's taking office was marked by the shutdown and by hundreds of thousands of people marching in protest in the country's major cities. What better time to check in with the political junkie, Ken Rudin? Ken, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, Mike, and I'm sorry about yesterday's game, that's for sure.
Well, these things happen, you know, especially if you're a Vikings fan.
Do.
Do you think they'll find a way out in Washington today?
You're not talking about the Vikings, of course. You're talking about those who are negotiating an end to the government shutdown. And that's a good question because there's a vote today coming up in about 2 hours, noon Eastern time. And the deal seems to be what Mitch McConnell is pushing for is that get a short, another temporary stopgap spending plan that will fund the government through February 8th. And then it'll be McConnell's intention, and I'm putting intention in quotes because that's the word he used, his intention to bring up the funding for the DACA, program, and allowing some kind of a plan for the Dreamers to not be deported as President Trump and Attorney General Sessions have been pushing for. Now, Republicans are making the argument that the Democrats should go along with this, otherwise they are supporting illegal immigrants over regular everyday Americans. And the Democrats are saying, well, wait a second, we've heard these promises before, and even if Mitch McConnell agrees to a vote on DACA, in February, what's to keep the House from voting it down?
Right.
So there's still a lot of mistrust on both sides.
Yeah, and for someone who ran as a deal maker, President Trump seems to have a hard time getting to yes. Here's what Democratic Senate Leader Chuck Schumer had to say about him this weekend after Schumer thought they had a deal last week.
The lunch that seemed so promising was quickly overtaken by hard right forces in the administration, even though we bent over backwards to meet the president's demands. Negotiating with this White House is like negotiating with Jell-O. It's next to impossible.
So, Ken, how do you make a deal when you're not sure what President Trump will agree to?
Well, that's a good point. We don't even know, let alone what he will agree to, what he really wants. I think one of the reasons he's been silent this weekend is because a lot of Republicans are nervous about the things he has said in the past couple of weeks. Remember, he's told Democrats that, yes, I want a deal on Dreamers, and only to contradict himself within hours later, perhaps after meeting Chief of Staff John Kelly or his senior policy advisor, Stephen Miller, both of whom are hardliners on immigration and both of whom are trying to dissuade Trump from any kind of a give on the Dreamer issue. So there's a lot of dissension within the White House. There's dissension among the Republicans themselves. Lindsey Graham has called Stephen Miller a big impediment to any kind of a deal. And Democrats are not on the same page either. There are people like Kirsten Gillibrand and Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, other progressive Democratic senators who say no compromise. We have to have a deal on the Dreamers. And there are others like Claire McCaskill, vulnerable Democrats who are running for re-election this year, who says we've got to do some kind of compromise or we're jeopardizing a lot of our seats.
And speaking of a hard line, President Trump hit back. This seems to be his tactic over the weekend. Here's an online ad he began running over the weekend.
President Trump is right. Build the wall. Deport criminals. Stop illegal immigration now. Democrats who stand in our way will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. President Trump will fix our border and keep our families safe.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants.
I mean, how do you negotiate with the other side when you're already castigating Democrats as being complicit in murder? So there was tremendous distrust on the Democratic side. But again, Claire McCaskill, Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Manchin, other Democrats are saying that if we want to get anything, we've got to give a little, and compromise is the way to make this happen. But there are so many people, so many Democrats from Chuck Schumer on down who just feels that there's no constant message coming from the White House, and whatever they may agree to can be undone within minutes later.
Well, both sides are blaming each other for this mess. Who do you think should get the blame?
Well, I mean, there was a policy in place that President Obama put in to protect these dreamers who have been brought here illegally as children, and we're talking about like 700,000-800,000 of them. And because Congress would not agree to any kind of immigration overhaul, President Obama said, okay, look, I'm going to do this on my own because Congress is not getting its act together. And then, of course, Donald Trump said, when I'm elected president, I will undo this. So, look, so for the Republicans to say, well, you know, something, the Democrats are trying to protect illegal immigrants, I think that is just very disingenuous. And I do think that the Republicans are at fault for this shutdown. But I also thought the Republicans were at fault for the last shutdown in 2013, when Ted Cruz and other Republicans tried to stop any kind of implementation of the Affordable Care Act when it came to the budget, and they shut down the government for 16 days. And you think that, well, maybe the Republicans will pay a political price. But in the next year, in 2014, the Republicans picked up control of the Senate, made a lot of gains in the House, and got sweeping victories in state legislative seats around the country. So just because the polls may blame the Republicans on this this issue, this matter, doesn't mean we'll see a corresponding blame put out by the voters at the polls in November. Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Republicans do control the House. They control the Senate. They control the White House. Isn't it their job to find a deal that the Democrats can agree to so they can get 60 votes in the Senate?
Well, that's the actual, that's the best argument of all. I mean, this would be the first time in history that a government shutdown happened when the party controlling the White House and both chambers of Congress would shut down. Now, and Donald Trump, of course, lauded his, you know, deal-making abilities. But it's one thing to make deals when you're in the private business and you're not trying to do something for the best of the American people. And for all of Donald Trump talking about what a good negotiator he is, I think there are a lot of Republicans, not only just Lindsey Graham, but perhaps Mitch McConnell as well, that they would be much happier if the president stayed silent and let the negotiators, both Democrats and Republicans in the Senate, work it out. It's not impossible to envision a deal at 12 o'clock noon Eastern time today. But again, there's so much distrust, and we'll just see what happens. But there's tremendous pressure on Democrats to come up with a solution and compromise, while there's also pressure saying, no, we must stand our ground because we cannot trust what's coming out of the White House.
The Democrats do seem to be willing to give in on a border wall or some kind of border security. I think $20 billion is what they're talking about. Of course, Mexico was supposed to pay for that. That's what we heard during the campaign, but that's not going to happen.
Believe Mexico will pay for it. Believe me. Whenever somebody says, believe me, you know, you're not supposed to believe him. But that's what Chuck Schumer said. He said, look, I was willing to, in my conversation with the president on Friday, I was willing to go along with, accede to his demands for more money for the border wall, more money for border security, and you know, in exchange for the DACA and Dreamer plan. And the president said no. So it's really not clear what the president wants, what he'd be willing to accept to agree to a compromise. But right now, Schumer's, you know, at least as of Friday, when he met with the president, he came away very empty-handed.
The polls show that there's a lot of support to help these folks that the Democrats call dreamers, the people caught up in this whole DACA situation. On the other hand, taking that hard line on immigration has done well for the Republicans. How much of a risk are the Democrats taking by shutting things down over DACA?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, the president himself and Republican leaders themselves have said in the past that they believe that these people involved in the DACA program are being treated unfairly and need to have some kind of protection. The president said that during the campaign. But then when you have people like Tom Cotton, the Republican senator from Arkansas, who is basically saying that there should be no compromise at all, I mean, the thing is that Paul Ryan may agree that Dreamers deserve to stay in this country, but he's not going to put his head on the line if his own Republican conference is against this kind of move. And it's clear that there are a lot of hardline Republicans in the House and Senate that won't accept that kind of a deal to keep the Dreamers safe from deportation.
Ken, I did note in the intro that Saturday was the first anniversary of the president taking office. And I don't want to let this pass without getting your take on it. What do you make of the first year of the Trump administration?
Well, shall we say it's been kind of surreal? It's been kind of like a unexpected, but I guess you kind of expected the unexpected with somebody so unconventional as Donald Trump. And for all the complaints, all the criticism of the Republicans saying they didn't get much done and, all the promises made didn't happen, I would make the case that for many Republicans, they got a lot of what they wanted. They got a new, they got Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. They got 12 more federal appeals court judges, which is the most of any first-year president, I believe, in recent history. And they got the tax bill, which, you know, the critics say it's a sop to the rich and the corporations, but that's what Trump wanted, that's what the Republicans wanted, and that's what they got. On the other hand, the fact is that the president's numbers still are around 35% to 40%, which is also the lowest of any first-term president in his first year in history. And so, I mean, ultimately, that for all the divided feelings about Trump in this country, that's why this November's midterm elections are crucial, because right now the Democrats move into 2018 seemingly with more energy, more momentum, and the Republicans are more defensive. But again, we're not going to predict elections 10 months away from November.
We won't even predict what will happen in Washington today, but we'll keep an eye on it. Ken,
oh, absolutely. We can't.
Ken, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Mike, thank you.
That's Ken Rudin, also known as the Political Junkie. He joins us every Monday with his take on politics.